Goodness comes through, everybody tell me, faith. Forgiveness comes through faith. Forgiveness comes through faith. Then to show that the only way we can have forgiveness of our sins is by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Then to see that repentance is the condition that must be met if we are going to experience God's forgiveness. Then to realize that forgiveness means our sin has been completely removed and covered by the blood of Christ, never again to be remembered by God. Then to praise God for the forgiveness we have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. Following along in your lessons, lesson 8, we have been forgiven. What a blessing. We've been forgiven of all of our sins, of all of our past, present, and future sins. All of our sins were future when Christ died, weren't they? So all of our sins, Jesus Christ died for. Psalm 32:1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I'm sorry, we're in Psalm 32. Did I tell you that? For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. What a psalm. Here David pouring his heart out to God. And isn't it amazing that no matter how much sin that we've been in the past, at the point where we come and realize our sin and confess it before a holy God, that God will forgive that sin. God will forgive that sin. Forgiveness. What a blessing to be forgiven. Following along in your lesson, the greatest joy to be found in this life is the joy that is found in having our sins forgiven. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. There are three words given to us to describe our sin and three ways in which God deals with our sin. Turn with me to Romans 4, 6, 7, and 8. Romans 4, 6, 7, and 8. We'll notice these two verses that you all just quoted. We'll see them again back here in Romans. Romans 4, 6, 7, and 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Imputeth righteousness without works. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. Truly blessed, truly happy are we when the Lord did not put that to our account. Once we've been saved, once we've repented of our sins, trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, then they're not on our account anymore. Notice there at the end of verse 6, it says, without works. Without works. All the good deeds of my hands are nothing. The plowing of the wicked is sin. Everything that the wicked man does is sin. Everything in his life is sin. Why? Because he's outside of God. He's outside of God. Back to our passage, Psalm 32. Without works, Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe. Why? Because we had a debt that we could not pay. Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe because we had a debt that we could not pay. And that's why Jesus Christ paid the debt for us. First of all, transgressions. We see in verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. The word transgression means to pass over the boundary. Our transgression has been forgiven. Thank the Lord. It's been carried away by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24. If you turn there, 1 Peter 2:24. Reads, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree of Calvary that day. We thank him for that. We praise him for that. Jesus Christ came to earth, took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men for one purpose, to die, to make man right before God. That's why Jesus Christ came, to have our transgressions forgiven. Then the sin, we see it also in verse 1, whose sin is covered. The word sin means to miss the mark. We've all missed the mark. Romans 3:23, would someone quote that? Yes? Is that right? Okay, thank you. And then for those of us who know Christ as our Savior, our sin is covered with the blood of Jesus Christ and hidden from the sight of Almighty God. Romans 5:12, Louise? Okay, sin entered through Adam, the first Adam. Second Adam, Jesus Christ, came and took that sin away, didn't he? Then iniquity. Iniquity is moral disorder. David here says his iniquity was not imputed, was not placed on his record. God removed it. In 2 Samuel 12:13, in 2 Samuel, you don't have to turn there. 2 Samuel 12:13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Now, he had put a man to death, hadn't he? He had put Uriah the Hittite to death, hadn't he? And by the law, what was to be done to him? He was to die. He was to die. And yet, as the prophet came and accused David of his sin, and David's heart broke. David wasn't sorry because he had gotten caught. David was repentant because he had come up against a holy God. He had broken the law of a holy God. That's why David's heart was broke. That's why the prophet then said, "Thy sin is gone. It's gone." How can God forgive murder? How can he? Because he's God, because he died for it. He has the right to forgive it. He has the right to forgive sin because he died for it. that sin was forgiven of David. We think of David, and David's sins are all printed out. I'm thankful that my life wasn't printed out before you. David's life was printed out. We see the sin and the wickedness. But what we see and what we saw in David's life was that when he was accused, even though some time had elapsed, that he turned to God again. He turned to God again. Then in verse 3, he said, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." When that fellowship was broken between David and his God, David was getting older and older every day. Older and older and older. The sin was dragging David down. The sin was dragging him down. Matthew 11, 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest," the Lord says. In the next page in your lesson, forgiveness is an act of God. God declares forgiveness through Christ. In Isaiah 43, 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Our sins were taken care of through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Chris was a nice guy. Because Chris did good things for people. Because Kelly did nice things for people. That's why his sins were forgiven? No. For mine own sake, Jesus Christ said. Mine and your sins are forgiven only because of God, not because of any deeds that we do on this earth. For mine own sake, God says, I am the one who blots it out. Forgiveness is an act of God. Then forgiveness is by the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood makes forgiveness possible. Hebrews 9:22 says that, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission." Without the shedding of the blood of God. This is why Christ suffered. This is why he bled and died and rose from the dead. It is only by his blood that the penalty for our sin was paid. Only by his blood. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Pastor Seth talked about Christmas time and the importance of it. So many times we see a manger scene, we see the baby, and we see all that's going on there. And hopefully somewhere in the manger scene, somewhere in the background, hopefully there's a cross. I don't know if your manger scene has that. Somewhere there should be the shadow of the cross, because that's the only reason he came. It's the only reason he came was to go to the cross. Was to go to the cross. Why? Because you and I had a debt that we had no way of paying. So he paid for a debt that he did not owe. Thank the Lord. Jesus Christ's payment has been accepted by God. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, and the sin was taken upon him, and darkness came. And Jesus was alone without the Father. He was without the Father. Why was he without the Father? Because sin was on him. Sin was on him. He died alone. And he satisfied God. He satisfied God. We thank the Lord for the Trinity. Can we explain it? No, we can't. Are we thankful for it? Yes, we are. Because that's where we get salvation. We get salvation because the God of heaven came to earth, became man, and died for us with no sin. Yet without sin. Jesus Christ's payment has been accepted by God Almighty. This is why we can say, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's no man on this earth that can forgive your sin, because he's a sinner. Our pastor can't forgive our sin. We can't come up to our pastor and say, "Pastor, you're a man of God. You've been serving the Lord these 30 some odd years. Would you forgive my sins?" He'd say, "No, you need to kneel right down here before a holy God and confess your sins." That's what he'll say. Because only God can forgive sin, not man. Not only is he faithful to forgive, he is just in doing it, because Christ accomplished his work by his blood. By his blood. Our salvation is free to us, but it costs God. Our forgiveness is all of grace, but it costs God. It is an act of God accomplished by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Then we see that forgiveness requires repentance. Forgiveness requires repentance. In Luke 13, 3 and 5, Jesus said unto them in verse 3 and again in verse 5, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise," somebody finish it, "shall likewise perish. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Forgiveness requires repentance. Repentance, is it a work of ours? No. Repentance is a work of who? A work of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts. When he comes and accuses us in our hearts against his divine law, against the standard, against the word of God, and the Holy Spirit works in our heart and accuses us before that standard, and then we see ourselves as sinners that have broken the divine law of God. Repentance is a change of mind that we believe will lead to a change of actions. And certainly we have many testimonies of that to be the case. A change of mind that leads to a change of actions. Forgiveness requires repentance. Can someone come to the Lord without repentance? Certainly not. They've got to realize they've broken the law of a holy, thrice holy God. We must understand that repentance is not a work. It is not a work that we can do. Jesus Christ did all the work that had to be done. Repentance is not a work that you and I can do. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his Spirit he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Not by works of righteousness. We can't do it. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The box there in your lesson, repentance is not the cause of forgiveness. It is a condition. It's not the cause of forgiveness. When you and I repent, that is not salvation. That is not salvation. Salvation comes by grace through faith. Through faith. 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation." 2 Corinthians 7:10. Galatians 2:20, Brother Glenn, you quoted this 2 weeks ago. Galatians 2:20 and 2:21, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Next verse, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Righteousness does not come by the law. Did you and I need the law for salvation? Yeah, we did. Why, what did it do for us? It was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Jesus Christ, to bring us to salvation. Did we need the law? Yeah, we needed the law because it brought us. It was a schoolmaster. It taught us that we were sinners. It showed us that we were lost. When we place our faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and enables us to do what we ought to do. We need Holy Spirit enablement. The Bible says, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned." When you and I flee to the Lord, when we look to the Lord, and we beg for forgiveness, and we come broken before a thrice holy God, God will forgive us. Psalm 51, we did the series, one or two series ago, I don't remember, but what a series that was, what a chapter that was, Psalm 51. We saw in those first 12 verses as David poured out his heart before a holy God, and he poured out his sin before a holy God. And then verse 16, he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." David could have given the Lord anything outside of righteousness, couldn't he? Money, everything. And yet the Lord doesn't want that. He didn't want their sacrifices. He says, "Your sacrifices, when you bring them to me with a filthy heart," he says, that they're stench to me. They're not a sweet-smelling savor to me when your heart is not right. And then in verse 19 of that chapter, in Psalm 51:19, then after all of that is accomplished, after the sin has been confessed, after David has realized it's not anything that I can do, then verse 19 says, "Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Does the Lord want our sacrifices of our life? Yes, he does. But he only wants them after our hearts are right before him. Psalm 51, the classic passage of repentance. Psalm 51. David had done more sin than we can think of that's recorded for us. And yet he was able to repent. Why? Because of who God is. Not because of what David did. David said, "I can't bring you anything," because you don't want anything. You just want a pure heart. That's all you want. And then after the pure heart comes, then we can make the offerings. We can do the sacrifices we do. What sacrifices do we do? Some of you guys, you're ushers. Some of you play the piano. Some of you teach. These are sacrifices that are sweet-smelling savors unto the Lord. These are gifts to him that you do for him. But it's only after a heart that's made right. Forgiven. What a place to be. What a position to have. Forgiven. Forgiveness means your sin is gone. If you could ask David where his sin went, he would answer, "I can't find it. It's gone." The Bible says in Micah 7:19, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Sometimes we sin, and we think, "I just can't ask God to forgive this again. I just can't. I've sinned so many times before, I just can't go to God." And it's almost just like a vain repetition. "Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, I want to glorify you in my life." And you almost feel like, "I just can't go and ask him to forgive me again." But you know what? If it's from your heart, the Lord wants you to come, and the Lord will forgive you. The Lord will forgive you. The works of our hands are dead works. There's nothing we can do to bring that forgiveness. the forgiveness that only a Christian has, that only someone that has come to Jesus Christ with nothing except a repentant heart. Forgiveness we can have. Remember, repentance is not the cause of forgiveness, it is a condition. Thank the Lord for forgiveness that we have, that has seated each one of us already seated us in the heavenlies. We're already there. It's a done deal. There's no more, I was saved by grace, but you know, I've done some things wrong. Paul says to the Galatians, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, of course not. We've begun in the spirit. Salvation was of the spirit. The keeping of it is also by the spirit. All right, let's look at our questions. There they are. Monday. There's three different words used for sin. I'd like to see a hand. Somebody wants to answer that? Raise a hand. Transgression, sin, and iniquity. Very good. Tuesday, compare Psalm 32:5 and 1 John 1:9. What truth is taught in both verses? If we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins. Wednesday, Psalm 32:8, Psalm 123:2. How does the Lord desire to guide us? He will guide us with his eye. Very good. That's another good memory verse there. Instructing and teaching the way which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. That all-seeing eye, that protective eye. Moms and dads watching over the little ones, their eye is upon them. Thursday, according to Isaiah 43:25, who is it that forgives sins? Everybody. God. He was 9:22, we learned. There is no remission of sin or forgiveness without what? Somebody? Shedding of the blood. Micah 7:19. Where will God cast our sins? In the depths of the sea. Praise the Lord. Our sin is gone. Never to be looked at again. Never to be seen again by a thrice holy God. Only when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Only when you and I realize that we are sinners before God. We've been forgiven, amen? Amen. Let's live like it this week, okay? Thank you for coming. Yes, ma'am. Yes. That sweet fellowship can be gone. David found that out, and David begged for that son's life. And God said, no, this one's not going to live, but I'm going to give you another one, and he will. And Solomon was the greatest, everybody knows Solomon, even unsaved people know Solomon. What a blessing that forgiveness can be that after he lost that first son, that God would, even with the same woman now, who is now his wife, would bless him with Solomon. What a wonderful God we serve. Okay, we'll be gone next week. We're going to do a combined class with Brother Mike. Work those memory verses. Go through these. Next week will be verse section 9. And do you have the questions? Did everyone receive a sheet with the questions? Thank you.